The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in. It's the Early Line on a Friday morning. Kevin Walsh joined, of course, by Donnie Wrightside. It's hour number two, and we take a look at the PGA Tour's PGA Championship. Rory. How about Rory McIlroy? We'll start there. We'll get to Tiger in just a minute. But could this be his time? It feels like it's been a while since we've had Rory dominate a major event. But if you remember, man, you know, he had such an interesting Masters where he had that unreal close to the Masters. And even though he didn't win, right, he was like, that's about as fun as I've ever had on a golf course in my entire career. Back here at another major, and the momentum's there. Round one leader, and now the favorite to win this whole thing at under plus 300.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see how it does finish up here for Rory McIlroy now at a plus 280 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Also keep in mind, sometimes you're waiting on, well, what could throw you off? Like, Rory had a very good round, and it's great to hear when a professional of any, you know, genre, whether it be football, golf, hockey, whatever, say, man, that was a lot of fun yesterday. Because sometimes you say, hey, I had a lot of fun. I just didn't hit it all that well. But when you're having fun and playing well, certainly a minus five here, and having the lead after day one is key. 81-degree temperatures out there in Tulsa today. But how about this? Wind sustained, it looks like, around 17 miles an hour with gusts over 20 miles an hour. We saw it blow around a little bit yesterday, but obviously with McIlroy shooting a 65, didn't affect him all that much. It affected a lot of the field because if we're taking a look now, Kevin, the estimated cut line here, just taking a look, it looks like it's around even. So those guys that like Tiger Woods at a +4 really have to do some damage. But it just shows you that if the cut line is at even, it's a pretty good tournament so far underway. I like the fact that sometimes the PGA Championships, the U.S. Opens, they make the golf courses a little bit tougher as the weekend moves on. I would love to see this where you had a bunch of guys up top like you do now stay in there, but in that -9, -8, -7 range, that should be a fun tournament here to watch throughout the weekend.
Yeah, no doubt about it. By the way, just to kind of to clean up something from yesterday, they're shooting a par 70. This week, as opposed to a par 72. So that boost yesterday on Tiger was about shooting par, not, you know, to be too under, just to kind of clean that up. So it kind of, you know, the course is obviously, you know, supposed to have maybe some better scores there. Rory has a round two over under. It's minus 172, but 71 or better is the over under for Rory McIlroy. So in one respect, it shows how difficult it can be to repeat. Obviously, you know, kind of how good he was on day one, but man, this guy could go one over and you could cash that ticket. I understand minus 172 is a bit expensive, but man, that jumps off early. Let's get to this. Listen, if he's out there, he's the star. It's the truth about Tiger Woods. It really is. It's going to probably remain this way forever. This guy could, you know, he's going to be John Daly's age out there. It's going to be like, hey, what group is Tiger? Make sure that's the exclusive one. Though I'm not sure how much longer Tiger's going to be sticking around at this tournament here, because it was an ugly first day for Tiger Woods. Four over, but more than the score, the health didn't look like it was there, Donnie.
No, it didn't look like it was there. And actually looked like it was there early on, but that one miss hit there, you know, where he pounds a drive right down the right side of the fairway and then misses the green in the far back into the bunker. And he takes that like odd swing. And after that, it looked like he never could get back around. And maybe he tweaked his leg on that. But if we take a look at Tiger Woods in this tournament here, Kevin, he sits at a +4. So obviously he's a few shots back off of the anticipated cut line that we're looking at. But the one thing that I think works in Tiger Woods' favor is he's not going off early today, like 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. at this point. As we welcome in the radio audience here, SiriusXM channel 159, the early line, Donnie Wrightside, along with Kevin Walsh, talking a little PGA championship. But getting back to Tiger Woods here, the reason I bring it up is he knows what he's going to have to shoot by the time he tees off, Kevin, at around 2:30, right? You say, okay, what are the guys doing this morning? Yeah. Are the winds up? Is everybody coming back to the field at this point here where I know I could probably get away with making the cut if I shoot even par today? Or does he take the golf course where, you know, some of these guys are 7, 8, 9, and 10 under, where he knows he has to go low and just says, I don't have enough left in my gas tank to do that? So at least he plays in the afternoon where he knows the score that he's probably going to have to shoot to make it to the weekend.
Yeah, it's a really good point, right? Because he's such a smart golfer. So we don't have that projected cut line just yet. But again, he's 4 over. His round 2 score, though, it's 74 worse, 73 or better, -152 for him to be. So I guess that would be actually 4 over, man, or worse. 74 worse, 4 over or worse is what the Tiger round number 2 score is here. At the PGA, which is obviously really, really tough. One guy I'm interested in today, and I don't know if there's anything that jumped off the page to you when you were taking a look at the leaderboard or who's at the top there, but I'm always interested in a guy like a Jon Rahm. Jon Rahm was the pre-tournament favorite. Tough day for him. You know, we're talking about Tiger. Jon Rahm's only one shot better at 3 over. He had a double bogey on 8. It was not the kind of day that Jon Rahm looks for. The thing is, you expect him to bounce back. His round 2 score, 71 or better, which again, which would be 1 over or better, -142. He's just the caliber of golfer who's coming off of a bad day. You usually would anticipate a pre-tournament favorite can bounce back day number 2.
No, you're right, and that's what you're going to anticipate, right? Because you have those guys, Rory McIlroy +250, Justin Thomas 8-1, Zalatoris 10-1. Those are the guys at the top of the leaderboard that you're saying to yourself, just hang on, and maybe you'll give us a legitimate chance. But some of these really good golfers that are buried a few shots below, we could get some value on. But also keep in mind, just up here, the projected cut +2 as it sits now. So maybe doable for Tiger, and we'll see if we get some movers today on there in the golf course.
Number to FanDuel Sportsbook, projected cut score, +4 or better, +125, +4 or worse, -175. So some interesting stuff out there. Major League Baseball, that's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball steps up here on the early line. Yesterday, team total checked in. Could it be today? Maybe the TV audience got a spoiler there. Maybe we could. I was going to say maybe we could force Donnie's hand. We can't. 2, it would defeat the purpose. So we'll just see. Maybe it'll come naturally, though. Maybe he'll be surprised, even though he's already gone through the games. Anyway, Cubs Diamondbacks. Kyle Hendricks gets the ball here. An 11. That's nice. Here's my favorite thing about Wrigley, though, right? Is even, like, if you know nothing about anything, you see the 11, you go, wind's blowing out. Kyle Hendricks gets the ball. The Cubs are -142. Looks like the wind's blowing out at Wrigley. Is that what's going on? What are you expecting?
And that is what's going on. Remember yesterday we talked about that White Sox-Kansas City Royals game. We said to ourselves, now hold on now. It's really nice weather out there. Two bad pitchers on the mound. Something has to give here. Yeah, they had a 9.5-10 number, and that game ended up 7-4 with an over. Now this one is 11 in Wrigley, and you're right. You can tell by which way the wind is blowing exactly looking at those totals. So if we took it the 11, how about this? 85 degrees at first pitch. Winds blowing dead out to center field. 20-plus miles an hour. So at Wrigley, get the ball in the air, it should leave the yard. But the question is here, which one of these offenses will do that, if not both of them, or none of them here? Because if we take a look at Hendricks on the season here, Kevin, 5.35 xFIP number, a K rate of 17%, which isn't very good. Lefties and righties, he's been okay, but here's the factor. If you take a look at 111 batters that Hendricks has faced from the left-hand side, to 324 weighted on base percentage, which is right about average, and an ISO power number of 177, right about average. Reason why this makes sense is typically you'd see a normal Major League Baseball lineup. What do they have, Kevin? 3-4, maybe, if you're lucky, a couple switch hitters giving you 5 bats from the left-hand side. If we take a look at the anticipated lineup tonight for the Diamondbacks, 7 batters anticipated to be lefties today. So that certainly helps you out. If we take a look and flip it over to the other side, Castellanos will be on the mound at 5.42 xFIP number, but he does have some very good splits between lefties and righties with weighted on base percentage. Not a great lineup there for the Cubs, but again, we're taking a look at that leap of faith, Kevin, as we had yesterday with the White Sox and the Royals. Two bad pitchers, great hitting environment. You want to lean towards the over, but keep in mind, you're not leaning towards the over of 7.5 or 8. You need 12 to cash it in. But quite frankly, I think there might be a legitimate chance they get it done. I'm just not willing to bet on it. That's all.
It's an interesting way the game is being presented early. Well, I know it's early, right? But like, they don't have the Diamondbacks team total listed, but the Cubs team total is listed. They've got strikeout props for both pitchers, but they've got no hitter props whatsoever across the board here. And I always found that at times with Wrigley, you'll notice this. There's times they've done this before. They'll hang the game. They'll offer you the money line. They won't touch the total out there. So it still feels like there are some things kind of being figured out on the FanDuel Sportsbook about, okay, we get it. It's going to be, you know, maybe a big day. How big of a day is it going to be? And that's going to impact, you know, the home run props, all those different things there today at Wrigley Field. Again, looks like it could be an explosive game, though. At an 11, it should be a fun one to follow. Continuing to move through the Yankees and the White Sox lineup once again. And I'm really glad we get the chance to talk about this game here. This time they're back in the Bronx because I really want to just focus in on one person, and that's Nestor Cortes. We can go through the game as a full scope here. Can you put into perspective how Nestor Cortes lines up here? Because I know you've joked before. I have no idea how this guy gets people out. I mean, he is currently, the season ended today, rightfully the AL Cy Young. I think that would be a fair award. I mean, a 1.35 ERA is outrageous. I mean, it's just outrageous what this guy is bringing to the table. And you look at the last two starts, 15 and a third inning, 4 hits, 1 run. That's his last two starts combined. Nestor Cortes, when you're trying to line this guy up, how good does it look?
He looks very good here in 2022, but I have to say, if we're looking at the Yankees and that price point there at about -220, it sounds about right because the pitching matchup really is in your favor. But I have to say, if we take a look and you say like how he stacks up compared to like previous years, most pitchers in this day and age, talking about 2022, are been able to live with being fly ball pitchers, where in the past, maybe you're not able to do that. If the ball is slightly juiced, you're giving up fly balls, that turns into home runs. The reason I bring that up is a great K percentage, 32.5% of the batters that have come up against Nestor Cortes have struck out, doesn't give a lot of free passes, which is really key, which is why he's a nice exit on the season. But ground ball percentage, 36%. That means roughly 2/3 of the batted balls are either line drives or fly balls, which typically would get you in trouble. He's been unbelievable here. Weighted on base percentage, 190 to lefties, 228 to righties, low ISO power numbers to both sides. But this is what I like about this game here. If you looked in the past, the Chicago White Sox, what do we always tell people that are gambling? Forget about the Chicago White Sox against righties. Just pick your spots against left-handed pitchers because they do damage. Now, Cortes has been sensational, but Cortes is also a left-handed pitcher. So if we look at the estimated lineup today coming from the Chicago White Sox, it's 9 right-handed batters. And quite frankly, some of these guys are starting to wake up at least against left-handed pitching here. Tim Anderson, a .552 weighted on base percentage. Yoan Moncada finally back into the lineup here, a .656 weighted on base percentage versus lefties. Robert, .465. Vaughn, .366. Angle, .348. So this is going to be, if we have a legitimate, serious Cy Young candidate, and it's not hot weather conditions here in the Bronx, it's going to be about 70 degrees the first pitch with a light wind blowing in from right field. But if you get Nestor Cortez with a great start against this lineup that's notorious in the past few years for dominating left-handed pitchers, you got something on your hands here in the Bronx with a great pitcher for 2022.
It's a really, really good point there. By the way, there's a couple of guys that jump off of the page, career, what they've been able to do against Dallas Keuchel. Look, and there's a lot of guys here. Judge, IKF, Glaber. But the one that really pops off there is Giancarlo Stanton. 6 of 11 in his career. That's a .545 average with two homers and a double. You talk two-plus bases, you know, the base of a hitter prop parlay. And listen, if you want to go out there, he's 3-1 to hit a home run. Stanton just hit a home run yesterday in Baltimore, which was a gimme. And again, you know, if you're insane like Donnie, you probably should just bet every single player to hit a home run at Yankee Stadium. Yes. When the games are at Yankee Stadium. And I assume that those cash all the time, but they don't because obviously, again, it's nonsensical comments. But again, we know that it is what it is. Dodgers, Phillies. I'm actually really, really excited for Dodgers, Phillies because imagine a world where the Phillies have the Dodgers number. Wouldn't that be awesome? That would just, like, what a fun little oddity that could be. They went to Dodger Stadium, took 3 of 4, and legitimately should have swept that four-game set. Well, now Urias comes in. He's a favorite. You'd expect it, but it's a lower number. Under minus 140 right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook against Ranger Suarez and the Phils. Can the Phils continue to play well against the Dodgers?
I think they might be able to, but it's kind of, you know, confounding that you go on the road and you pound away on the Astros on the West Coast here and the Seattle Mariners, on the Dodgers on the West Coast and the Mariners. Then you come home and you can't hit anything in your own ballpark with some pretty nice weather conditions. It's going to be great weather conditions again tonight in Philadelphia, right on 80 degrees at first pitch, light wind blowing out to left field and two good looking lineups coming in. Now the Phillies are hoping that Bryce Harper can get back in the lineup to maybe spark that offense, and we'll see if it happens. But if we're trying to take a look overall, you see that 9 number, and typically you look at it and you say to yourself, that seems a little bit high in Major League Baseball. Not necessarily for today. Ranger Suarez is a 4.75 xFIP number. Right-handed batters have gotten him decently here, Kevin. 352 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number of 184. And there's a lot of really good right-handed batters here for the Dodgers. But if we flip it over to the Philadelphia Phillies going against Urias, a 5.25 xFIP number he has, he's actually been decent between lefties and righties. But again, that key metric here, ground ball percentage, only about 36%. If the ball gets in the air, it can leave the yard. If Harper is in the lineup tonight, it's not a bad lineup for the Phillies. Take a look at the ISO power numbers. Above average for Hoskins, Bohm, Harper, Castellanos, Segura, and Camargo. I think we get runs tonight in the city of brotherly love, even if we haven't gotten any from the Phillies over the past few games.
Just somebody tell me if the Dodgers brought the West Coast baseballs with them or not.
Yes,
by the way, this is a repeat pitching matchup. The Phils won that one 8-3 in Dodger Stadium. Should be a fun one. We take a break. We come back for more Major League Baseball preview here on Brotherly Love.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Blue Jays, Reds is where we go next year for some Major League Baseball preview. And there's a couple of interesting spots to kind of talk about in this game. The one thing that I'm very interested in as it pertains to Luis Castillo and his ugly early season starts, that ERA above the 5, is whenever you hear people talk about the top pitchers that could be available come deadline time, Castillo's a name that always is at the front of that column. Now, part of that is because the Reds are horrendous, and there's almost 100% of a guarantee that they're going to look to move on from Castillo at the deadline. But it's also because he's supposed to be very good. But that's a question, maybe more so than a guarantee. I don't know. Last year, I know he had some struggles, and I know he bounced back. He's having some early season struggles here as well. Certainly not a get-right opponent in that Toronto Blue Jays lineup across the aisle. What do you think here as the Reds make the trip up north?
I think the Jays a little bit steep price here at the minus 184, but if we take a look at it, you're right. Luis Castillo not having a great season here. 39 batters that he's faced. Lefties have really gotten after him. A 402 weighted on base percentage with an ISO power number of 318. But when you look at the lineup here, styles make fights, as we like to say typically here, and there's not a lot of left-handed power in the lineup tonight for the Blue Jays. If we anticipate maybe two bats, if that, tonight from the left-hand side, which Castillo has held up 13 batters. I know it's very limited here in 2022 for him, but a 0.67 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number of zero. So he's done fairly well and also is a pedigree guy. Reminds you a lot of like a Jose Barrios, right? On the move there, one of those talented guys, just get him in the right spot, see if it makes it work. So somebody like the New York Mets probably would be interested in Luis Castillo if they need to make a move here and one of their pitchers aren't coming back. But let's take a look at Hyunjin Ryu. Not very good this year, Kevin. 4.76 xFIP number, but get this. He's faced four left-handed batters on the season. He's a lefty. He's handled them, and that's fine, and we're not really focused on that. But check a look at the right-handed batters and what they've been doing. 49 of those on this early Major League Baseball season. A 409 weighted on-base percentage, an ISO power number of 304. So if you can line up a lot of righties, if we take a look at the lineup today, maybe Moustakas, Votto, and Naquin, the rest will be righties. But again, it's not a great lineup. It's not as if you say, okay, Ryu's been damaged by right-handed batters. You're going to get that Houston Astros lineup where you have like six or seven plus batters. You don't get that tonight. You're looking at maybe three, if maybe four plus batters, but something has to give here. I'm not willing to pay that high a price here on the Toronto Blue Jays and Ryu for that factor, because if you can get off from the right-hand side, which the Reds have woken up a little bit here in the month of May, I'm not paying that price. Maybe a dog look here from the Reds going on the road to play the Toronto Blue Jays.
Man, can I just add something that I think is going to make you smile here? So, you know, we always talk about that batter versus pitcher history. Luis Castillo, here's his history against the Toronto Blue Jays lineup. It's against Ryu and Gausman. And it's four total at-bats. It's obviously zero hits. It's three strikeouts. Mm-hmm. And it's just fantastic to see. But that's completely irrelevant because we don't have to waste our time anymore. And I can't believe there are still people out there that think it was ever good that pitchers hit. You and Madison Bumgarner can
kick imagine
rocks.
This year? Can you imagine year, Kevin, if we had pitchers batting with this baseball? Oh, my. Like, you might not. Every game should be lined at a 4.5 at that point as a total if we had pitchers batting this year. My goodness.
Oh, man. But don't worry. Like, Noah Syndergaard would randomly catch one and people like, it's the greatest thing I've ever seen. And those people.
Hamstring injury for pitchers running down the line. It would be devastating. It would be madness.
Goodness. Oh, so bad. So bad. I once heard someone say, oh, man, I can't believe that. What? In the NBA, let me guess, people should only play one side of the ball. Like, the most popular sport in this country isn't the NFL. Just full jabrons, but we know that, and that's what it is, and we move on because we've got Michael Wacha versus Robbie Ray, and Robbie Ray is a dog. And, folks, now, this is where you have to be careful. Because if I say, hey, it's Michael Wacha versus Robbie Ray, and one of the pitchers has a 4.62 and one of them has a 1.38, you go, of course, Robbie Ray's great. Michael Wacha stinks. No, not at all. Robbie Ray has not been the, you know, Cy Young self that we saw last year. And Michael Wacha's been, let's be honest, the guy who's obviously benefiting from the insanity that has been the start to this season. So maybe the Red Sox price is justified. You look through these lineups, and does it tell you Boston? Does it maybe tell you runs?
I'll tell you, it tells me probably under situation here, and that's quite frankly scary because they scored 18 times yesterday in this ballgame. But if we look at Michael Wacha, he does have a high xFIP of 4.99, but the simple fact of the matter is 49 batters from the left-hand side, 51 batters from the right-hand side, 273 to lefties, 167 to righties, and a weighted on base percentage. And also taking a look at the Seattle hitters, which aren't very good to begin with. Only two of those batters here, plus ISOs against right-handed pitching this season. So let's flip it over to Boston and see how they measure up here against Robbie Ray. 4.64 xFIP, which again is a little bit high, but he does have decent splits here. 186 weighted on base percentage to lefties and the righties, a 323. But also taking a look, we say maybe the Boston Red Sox are finally waking up from a slumber and starting to hit. Well, you're going to need some help tonight because Ray is a lefty. If you match up lefty pitcher versus the batters for the Boston Red Sox, doesn't come up great here. Kike Hernandez, a 176 ISO power number. Trevor Story, 174. Everybody else below a 111, which is terrible. So these pitchers match up fairly well with these lineups. Now, the pitchers haven't been all that great overall XFIP numbers-wise, but these batters don't match up tonight. Boston, that big ballpark that they have up there, right, Kevin? Yes, might be able to hold some baseballs tonight. We're going to go under the total this one of 9.
Yeah, and again, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, all journalistic integrity out the window whenever you get this guy, Donnie, to step up to the plate here. Talking about stepping up to the plate, here's one thing I'm very interested in is what they do with these Trevor Story numbers. So Story, look, it's a decent sample size. 27 at-bats, it's good enough for 8 hits, 3 homers, 4 RBIs, 10 walks in his at-bats, or, you know, I guess plate appearances, if you will, against Robbie Ray. It's a .296 batting average. It's solid. But you think about what he did yesterday, obviously, and you just wonder if that momentum carries. What is the price on Trevor Story for 2-plus bases, right? Could you use him as a foundation for a hitter prop parlay? Those are the things that I'm interested in today when we line these two teams up. Continuing to move through the board here, Tigers Guardian steps up next. Now, yeah. I wish it didn't. I mean, I don't know. Do you want me to do this one for you? The lineups are stink and we like under. I mean, am I wrong? I mean, could it possibly be anything else when it's Tigers Guardians?
Well, here's what we got. 85 degrees at first pitch.
Okay.
Winds blowing dead out 17 miles an hour. And sometimes at this time of year, you have to take a leap of faith. Because if we look at Savali, the pitcher here for the Cleveland Guardians, absolutely horrendous, Kevin. An exit close to 5.5. Look at this. 68 batters he's faced. He's a right-handed pitcher from the right-hand side. 470 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 305. Now, here's we have to take that salt tablet out, swirl it around in your mouth, and say, it seems kind of bitter here. Why? Because the Detroit Tigers lineup here. All right, this is one of those games we like to play. Savali's a right-handed pitcher. There are 9 batters in this lineup tonight for the Tigers. I'm going to give you the ISO power numbers first. How many players on this anticipated lineup are over the average, or should I say the 175, lining up versus right-handed pitching today for the Tigers? How many do you think?
I mean, I have to see. I'm a good test taker now.
Yeah.
I mean, the answer is zero. Isn't it zero?
It's zero. Not a single one. Now, let's flip it over here because ISO power is a little bit different than the weighted on base percentage. 9 batters in the lineup tonight that we think will be in there for the Detroit Tigers. How many are above the 325 ISO, weighted on base percentage for this Tigers lineup? So a different metric. How many do we have?
This is a bait, but I'm falling for it. 4.
Mm-hmm. 1.
Oh, come on.
So 18 metrics that we look at for one team, they're 1 for what? 18 at this point? I mean, how is it even possible? This pitcher is so big. 85 degrees, wind blowing out dead center. You should be this team because they have a lot of lefties in the lineup too tonight. A lot.
No,
you should be able to pound Savali, and yet he might go out there and go 6 innings, 2 earned, you know, 4 hits. Come on now.
No. But hold on a minute. Can we bet a side? Scooball's last 2 outings has gone a combined
really
now 13 scoreless, only 6 hits allowed. He's only walked 5. He struck out 16. Can we go -116 on Detroit? Trust there's enough in the lineup there?
Yes. I do think that makes some sense in this game because, again, you're taking a look. You want to take the total, right? That's what you want to do. Scooball. Really, we used to pick on Scooball last year. We said, hey, Scooball's on the mat. Yeah, hammer this guy. Not the case this year where he's actually having a very good season, and maybe it's because the balls are deadened here. But this isn't a deadened atmosphere with these weather and temperatures here. He still should be fine because even if we look at Scooball, who's also a left-handed pitcher going up against, you know, primarily right-handed batters, not a great lineup at all here for the Cleveland Guardians. If we take a look at their metrics here, right? Ramirez, a 171 ISO power number. Miller, a 308. That's it. Everybody else below average here at this point here. So maybe you're right. Maybe you got that eagle eye out today that the Tigers and Scooball are rightfully backed here on the road against the Guardians.
Maybe. Come on, folks. I mean, you know, I mean, come on. But hold on a minute, though. This guy's rocking up with a 985 ERA, and you're telling me that we can't just and the wind is basically just going to carry any baseball, and we can't go and get after
a wind machine. Yeah.
Come on.
Like, there's a couple of Vornado fans, like, behind home plate blowing the ball out the dead center field today. And we're like, man, these guys can't get the ball in the air. What's going on today? Like, you're looking at, if you can't have a, like, this is a perfect scenario. I want to hit the baseball today. Only thing you can do is not give me the Detroit lineup. Oh, yeah, Donnie, you get the Detroit lineup. Today. No, come on. Like, give me something to work with out there.
Can I make, I'm going to steal Donnie's gimmick. I'm going to steal his gifts, and I'm going to send this out as my verified team total today on the Detroit Tigers. I'm going to do
Send the radar out.
And they're going to, and when they get shut out, just know who sent you to the window. It was okay. Uh-huh. We come back and it's game two of the Western Conference Finals in the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Western Conference Finals time here on the early line. Golden State and, of course, the Dallas Mavericks are at it again. It's a 6-point line right now in favor of the Dubs. The total for this one is 214. The series price, the Warriors are -460. Dallas +360. We've gone over this stuff quite a bit, kind of when it comes to the series prices and this, that, and the third. Is there any, I mean, look, and there is a laundry list of items there between series spread, total games, or points, threes. There's so many different avenues that you can go down. Were there any updated markets, the popular parlays that caught your eye?
Not necessarily right now, because I'm having a hard time here trying to quantify what actually we can make of that 112-87 game. I'd feel a lot better looking forward and checking out some of those parlays, even the series prices, if, Kevin, we had 112 to like 106. Okay, the Dallas Mavericks are here. But that was kind of a wake-up call for me where you say, well, you just can't have a great performance every single game from your superstar with Luka Doncic, who went 20 points and 7 rebounds and 4 assists, and they got blown away. So it's one of those where we line up this game number 2 with, I still have a lot of head scratching. Like, I could see Dallas playing well, but I can also see a carbon copy of the same game because we've seen it before from the Dallas Mavericks in their road performances, saying, let's just get back and even the score at home and then see if we can steal one of those final games, games 5 or game 7 on the road. So right now I'm in a little bit of a quandary looking at this game overall, trying to project it moving forward. Now there is some options here that we have on the FanDuel Sportsbook with like some player props and odds there, which do make some sense. But from a side perspective on the length of the series are going, a little bit scared here, the Golden State Warriors, where I think there's a chance that they could pace the Mavericks again tonight.
If they do, currently the Mavs are +2.5 at -142 in terms of a series spread. If Golden State wins, I think by any margin, but of course if they win big, that's a plus price. It puts the onus on the Mavs to win 2 out of the next 3. It would be stunning, beyond belief, for the Mavs to not grab one of the games in Dallas. You would then either need them to win both in Dallas, which is what you're banking on, of course, or you're taking a chance on that team to go out there and snag game number 5 in Golden State. But if you like Dallas tonight at -142, +2.5 games, I understand the scenario. It can line up. The updated number that jumped out to me the most, though, was Luka to lead the series in the individual categories of points, rebounds, and assists. Obviously not combined, but lead each one of those three at +270. You look at game 1 and that box score. He's got a 1-point deficit on Steph, unmoved or bothered by that. Assists, he's tied with a couple of others. Look, between Steph, Klay, Kevon Looney, Jalen Brunson, and then himself all had the same amount of assists. I'm not bothered by that much at all. I think it'd be fine there. Rebounds, though, he has got a 5-rebound deficit to Steph and a 2-rebound deficit to Draymond. That would seem to be the area that you would trip up, but he is -155 to still lead this series in rebounding. At +270, I still think you can make a move on Luka to lead this series in all three of those statistical categories. Because Luka had a bad game number 1. If you saw me tweet, secret Luka injury, I don't know how many people saw this, but Kevin Harlan calls the games, did a radio hit and said that he had heard from two separate people, none involved with either the Warriors or the Mavericks organization, that Luka was up all night before game number one, sick, ill, under the weather. Sounds like the kind of thing that we don't hear about, right? And sounds like the kind of thing that Luka can get over and maybe explains the worst playoff game he has played by far this postseason, 20 points on 6 of 18 shooting. I think Luka bounces back. I think that makes sense for the series. And let's carry that to the – we'll start here before we get to the side and the total. Luka's points props, 31.5. That is a 2-point drop from game one. I can't believe I'm saying it because this has not been the case all postseason. But do we have the chance to actually get discounted Luka Doncic numbers, points, rebounds, and assists under 50 for the first time in a long time on Luka?
It seems valuable, too, at this point, right? Because you're trying to put two and two together. Do we think he's going to have two bad performances? And maybe he was a little bit sick or under the weather in game one. But this feels like one of those games where it's Luka Doncic saying to himself, I got to go out and exert myself tonight. I got to go out and leave it all on the court. And like 6 of 18 is not going to do it there. Maybe I got to shoot 25 times in this game, or maybe I got to put up 13 assists or 9 rebounds, whatever it might be. But it feels like he's going to put the team on his shoulders, win or lose, because there's still a good chance that if the Golden State Warriors win by double digits, Luka Doncic can still have a great basketball game. And it's kind of funny that we're looking in the playoffs here against the Golden State Warriors, who are a pretty good defensive team, saying we're getting a price point of 31.5. That's advantageous to go ahead and take the over. Think about that. In a playoff scenario on the road, we're talking about 31.5 as maybe a doable number. And you're right. How many times do we see like the Giannis Antetokounmpo numbers, which used to be routinely over 50, 51.5, 52.5, 53.5 for points, rebounds, and assists. So if I'm looking from a Luka Doncic prospect tonight, I do think his usage rate is going to be high, and I do think he steps up. Win or lose, doesn't matter tonight. I think Luka does have a pretty good game.
Yeah, I totally agree. 49.5 points, rebounds, and assists. So if we think Luka's going to have a good game, can they cover the 6? I feel like when you get to a series like this, and it feels a little tough, right? The notion is, all right, let me grab the points. And I find myself going, oh my goodness, I'm going to do the same exact thing I did last series. First two games, I said, the Mavs should be able to keep one of these close. They didn't. I said, all right, pivot. You got to put me on Phoenix. That did not work, right? Because then they didn't work until they went back to Phoenix here. But here I am again. I guess I'm not learning that stove is hot. I think I take the 6 with Dallas. I do think this can be a competitive basketball game. But more than that, I find myself interested in 214, and I find myself interested in it towards the over. I think this is a spot where offensively Dallas is due for a big bounce back here. And I think Golden State, you look at the 1-12 final that they put up, 24 in the fourth quarter, basically no starter minutes in that fourth quarter there. This feels like a game where the Warriors offense could carry me. I expect Dallas to get to at least 100 points on that side of the floor. I like 214 more than the side in this game, and I like it towards the over.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there, because if I'm looking at a side perspective, again, just being scared from game one and how effective the Golden State Warriors were in that blowout situation, you could easily see them win by 10 points or more in this environment. But I do think you get back to more offensive basics here for the Dallas Mavericks, and we always get back to Jason Kidd talking, hey, somebody else join the party and help out Luka so he doesn't have to go for 37 points tonight. Not even in a win, just to keep us close here. So the secondary options always open up, and I got to tell you, maybe it gets right back to our guy here with Spencer Dinwiddie. We're taking a look here at the FanDuel Sportsbook here. His points prop, Kevin, at a 12.5. And I like to call Spencer Dinwiddie blowout proof. He's going to play if the game is close. He's going to play if Dallas has the lead. And he's going to play if Dallas is behind 15 or 20 points in the fourth quarter. Last three games, 15 points, 30 points, and 17 points, all playing at least 20 minutes or more. And if we look at that price point again at a 12.5, I think it makes some sense. If you think you need to back the Dallas Mavericks tonight, it can't be because you think Luka is going to have a 38, 15, and 10 performance. It's because Luka might have that performance, but the secondary options like a Spencer Dinwiddie are going to have to get at least into those mid-teens, maybe close to 20 points to try to help Luka in a game two situation where if it is close, he's got some help and he doesn't have to do it all himself.
The guy that we looked towards for help last go around was Dinwiddie. His was number was 11.5. It's up to 12.5. I know you had focused in on his 3-point shots. I think they're looking to juice you out. They kept it at 1.5, but it's minus 162 now. I think that's typically labeled a little too expensive. So you talk about the guy stepping up around Luka, right? Where in the props market are you looking tonight? What's catching your eye as we look at this game here early Friday morning? Dinwiddie feels like the kind of guy that if you've been making money on him, you can keep kind of coming back to him. It makes sense. The workload is going to be there for Spencer. And for the fact that he hit that again in the blowout, this could be a guy that's blowout proof, actually, considering that he does come off of the bench here, Donnie.
Yeah, no, it is. It is right also because you're trying to take a look at those secondary guys that are going to come to the party and play well. And sometimes, Kevin, it is harder to do that on the road than it is at home. But if you take a look at a guy like Jalen Brunson, you know me, Kevin, I love 3-point props to the over, and I think they make some sense. If you look at Jalen Brunson, his over 1.5 is a plus 120, and you say to yourself, that should be easy. But if we take a look at Brunson over the past couple games, he's made 2 3-pointers versus Phoenix in that closeout game situation. But before that, hadn't made 2 3-pointers since the 28th of April. And including the last game, opening up against Golden State, an 0-for-5 here on the road and 14 points. But if we take a look, his scoring has actually still been decent, even though he hasn't thrived from the 3-point line, which, quite frankly, doesn't shoot a ton of those. 14 points, 24 points, 18 points, and 21 points in his last 4 games. The 2 games previous before that, Kevin, 18 and 28. So it's kind of funny where I do think Luka Doncic has a good game, but I got to tell you, I think I might be leaning on a Jalen Brunson points to the over, or even, as we said, a Spencer Dinwiddie. Somebody come to the party and help Luka out. I think these guys might be able to do that here.
Yeah, I think that lines up. On the Golden State side, there's 2 points props that catch my eye. It catches it, though, in completely different directions. First is Steph's. His points prop was 27.5 game one. They go to 26.5. At home, he's been automatic. This guy would have been 30-plus game number one in this series, if not for the blowout. He only played 31 minutes. He was a plus 23 in the game. He was fantastic. Steph lines up. You'd hate to see a world where the Dallas defense is able to force him off of his platform. And basically, if you backed it game one, you lose out because of the blowout, and then adjustments are made. Steph feels like a guy you trust. But here's another angle. We so often talk overs. Draymond Green under 8.5. I know it's such a low number, but Draymond Green gave you 10 points last game on 4 of 6 shooting. Draymond doesn't shoot, and I know he had 14 versus Memphis. Outlier game. He took 14 shots. How about this? Before game number 6 against Memphis, where this guy goes out there and takes 14 shots, you add up the rest of that. He hardly took that in the series. He was 6 or less in the prior 5 games against the Memphis Grizzlies. Draymond played 1 regular season game against Dallas. He only scored 2 points. I'm thinking Draymond under 8.5 points tonight against the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, it's not good. What do we talk about, Kevin? Right? Usage rate here. And you're right, the anomaly, the 14 shot attempts and 14 points versus Memphis. And he actually only had 6 shot attempts and still got to the 10 points. But previous before that, 4 shots, 2 shots, 3 shots, 5 shots, 3 shots, all of those games. 6 points, 6 points, 5, 2, and 5. That's much more of the same. You can settle to a Draymond Green game, right? 7 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists. Plus 15, that's Draymond Green. So I'm with you. The 8.5 looks light because he had back-to-back games of double digits. But if you really look into the numbers, that's not really the case here. Draymond's more of that triple singles guy, as Charles Barkley would like to say.
Yeah, I'm wondering if Draymond can go out there, maybe get thrown out of the basketball game, right? Isn't he for one of those? And maybe help the ticket come in. Let me ask you about your guy. I feel like you bet more Clay props than anybody else. Are you interested in him tonight?
I actually am. I mean, both of those guys. The Splash Brothers should be in effect tonight. If you're looking for 4 3-point shots, I think at least one of them can get there and cash in those tickets. I like the Splash Brothers tonight.
Yeah, it makes sense. Poole's interesting as well. Points prop 16.5. Got himself up to 19 in game one. He's been good early series. He's tapered off towards the back end there. So in Golden State, Poole maybe lines up as well tonight. Fun game number 2 in the Western Conference Finals is on deck. Before any of that, make sure you listen up as we close out.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh!
All right, last segment of the week. Feels great to say right here on the Early Line, SiriusXM Channel 159, right here on the Sports Grid Network. Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh, as always, you know it. We carry you through first 2 hours of the day, 7 to 9 a.m. before we hand it over to Ben Stevens and the morning after. So, so many good topics to talk about here. But the one that keeps on catching our attention is college football at this time of year. So we take a look at Saban and Jimbo getting after it. Listen up. Maybe you're focused on the PGA Tour yesterday and watching the PGA Championship and seeing if Tiger Woods can make it to the weekend. We'll find that out a little bit later. Or maybe you had your attention on the Celtics absolutely pummeling the Miami Heat in game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. But I got to tell you, things just started to heat up yesterday once again between Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban, and the SEC itself had to get involved and reprimanded both coaches, saying, "This is unbecoming of college football coaches in our conference," but this is exactly what we love, because who is going to look to the schedule next year and see when the heck A&M and Alabama are going to square up here? And also, if you didn't think it was getting good yesterday about somebody should be getting slapped because they weren't raised correctly, as Jimbo Fisher told Nick Saban, how about Nick Saban including one Deion Sanders into the equation and saying, "Hey, you guys paid a guy $1 million to come to your school," and then you saw the fallout on social media where Deion Sanders basically saying, "Hey, Nick, I don't even make $1 million, let alone any one of my players making $1 million to come to school and play for me here." And also, you even saw some of the kids here for Deion Sanders getting in the mix going, "My dad doesn't even talk to me unless I clear the food plate at home here, let alone getting $1 million. And also the kid going to school to play for Deion says, "My mom still lives with five kids in a three-bedroom house. What are you talking about, this $1 million? This is sensational stuff, and this is the new weaponry that we have in major college football. Who's getting paid to play where, but also which coaches are getting extremely upset? Stay tuned, because I'm pretty sure this isn't over yet. But you know what? Just because our show on the Early Line is over, you got to stay tuned right now for Ben Stevens and the Morning After, right here on the Sports Grid Network.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Your coffee would never get cold. Your flight would always be on time. And your mattress would always respond to you and your unique sleep needs. Sleep Number mattresses are designed to respond to your body and shift with your changing life, helping you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.